Welcome back to Sports Day. SA, David Wilde, Malcolm Blight for Weeks. Discover a better way to build Weeks homes. Discover different and also tyre pair. Blighting it, buy three, get one free on Kumho tyres. Great deals, brands you can trust. Stock take sale on now at tyre pair. Nathan Buckley, end of an era.
Yep.
They ended up well. Collingwood with a nice win over the top ranked Melbourne. We thought we'd find someone that played with him and knows Nathan there a long while to talk about his career, both as a player and as a coach. And Alan Didak, a star in his own right. He's won a Copeland Trophy, a couple of All-Australians and a premiership plan. He joins us now. Alan, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell us about Bucks. We know he can polarise, if you like. He certainly did as a player. We know a lot of people, if you weren't Collingwood fan, you didn't like him. But you played a lot with him, and he's been at the Collingwood for a long, long while.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, I was one of the lucky ones. I played with Bucks for about 10 years. He was just an amazing, amazing player. What you see is what you got with him. He was just so determined to be the best player in AFL, and he ended up being, one of the legends of the game. So,
was he one of the boys? I mean, he's so single-minded. A lot of people felt Bucks put Bucks first, and sometimes you have to do that to be so good. But was he in the inner clique there with you guys, or was he one of the different players?
Yeah, no, he was definitely one of the different ones. He always wanted to lead by example, and which he did his whole career on and off the field. There's no doubt at times, he let his hair down, especially, at the end of the season. But Bucks was really determined just to be the best player. What he did on the field, he did off the field as well.
Now, you both came from a similar background, not so much with the Darwin bit, but Port Adelaide. So you both played at Port Adelaide as young players, and both of you are terrific, obviously got drafted from that system. Did you talk about your days at Port Adelaide with him?
Early days we did. He was a superstar at Port Adelaide as well. We spoke about it early days. Obviously, there's a lot of old tradition with the Magpies, and very similar with Collingwood. So we didn't talk too much, obviously, later on in the career, but definitely early days.
With his, I must say that I was actually coaching Geelong at the time and tried to get him to come to Geelong. We thought we had a chance, but he ended up making up his mind. A few clubs were after him after the Brisbane experience, but him and his manager, Jeff Motley, spent some time with him. And anyhow, he eventually chose Collingwood. It was a big story at the time. He was going to be the highest paid player, regardless of where he went. It was a massive salary for those days.
It was huge, yeah. And I don't know if you remember, he actually signed with North Melbourne.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Gabby Allen got him across to Collingwood on the day, or the day after we signed the contract. So he was always, like I said before, he was always destined to be a superstar. But obviously it was big news at the time, and I think he chose Collingwood probably over North Melbourne because it had a lot more tradition and obviously a bigger club.
Where do you rate Pendlebury with Bucks? Different type of player. Pendlebury just glides through. He's just unbelievable with his basketball skills and now played so many games. Different type of players, but they're both probably in the top three or four in Collingwood's history if you look at their records.
Oh, no doubt. I get asked this question a lot, and some of my old teammates, we're sort of torn between them. I'm a massive Pendlebury fan. I think it's just a bit more silky skilled, and but a lot of my mates think Bucks is probably the greatest player that Collingwood's ever produced. So, but if I had to pick one player, it would probably be Scotty Pendlebury.
Interesting you say that. I mean, I love them both. I love Pendlebury enormously. Yes. Nathan always felt actually because of his great kicking and great depth. I reckon he actually belted the ball to a lot of teammates, whereas Pendlebury he'll drift it to the. I always felt
perfectly weighted.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've known Nathan since he was a baby, so I always thought he actually just belted the ball a bit too often because of his beautiful kicking style. Whereas, as I mentioned, Pendlebury actually learnt how to kick it to a teammate, not at him.
Yeah, that's right, and I think as Bucks got a bit older, he tried to implement into his game. Once you see, you see Pendles, the way he moves and the way he reads the play, he's always, two or three steps in front of the opposition. And as a forward, I used to love leading towards him because he just loop it up and put it in the right position.
Yeah.
What about as a coach? They reckon he's mellowed over the last few years. Once again, that single-minded, it wasn't very flexible, if you like. Did you You've had 1 year under Bucks, would you? Is that the two?
I think I had 2 years under Bucks.
Yeah, you did two.
Yeah, I did. And look, Bucks was a completely different coach at the end of his career compared to the start of his career. He was pretty raw. People don't, I don't know if they remember or if they know, he didn't have any AFL coaching experience. He wasn't even an assistant coach. He came straight out of the AIS under 16. And so he struggled early days to really communicate with the players and get your hand or try to get his hands on, pretty much the right people in the caper. But it obviously takes time. And one thing he didn't do too well initially is work with the players. So it almost backfired early days. But, he learned his way and he learned to let other people do their work. And he actually become a pretty good coach in the end.
He would have played with a lot of you guys. So you've come from Malthouse to Buckley. Was Mickey different? He was, you could relate to Michael Malthouse a bit different?
Oh, no doubt. You're talking about one person who's had 35 years experience to a person who's within the system, a coaching system for 2 minutes. So I think if you've been in the system long enough, you learn to understand players, relate to players and admin staff and the footy department. Bucks never really had that chance initially. So you're talking about a guy who's been in the system for a long time, let other people do their work in terms of, the fitness, the assistant coaching. He could relate to the players a lot better because he'd been there and done that. And it was he's a father figure to a lot of the players as well. So it's probably a bit easier for Mick to be the coach that he wanted to be. And Bucks had to really find his feet. Yep. Pretty early days.
Yeah, you would have been around, obviously, when the handover happened and all the headlines that got when Nathan Buckley took over from Mick. It wasn't a great time at the club, was it? Because there was obviously animosity between people at the club. And you as players, you as players had to wear all that, didn't you?
Yeah, no, we did. It was a weird time. I think it was 2019 they did the deal. And at the time, it didn't seemed too bad, but once we become the team that we wanted to be, it was hard to really understand why the deal went through in the end. It's hard enough winning a premiership, and when you've got a good young side and you've already won one and you almost won in the second one back to back, it was just an awkward, weird feeling because half of the playing group wanted Mick to stay on, but the deal was done, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, it certainly was, wasn't it? I mean, it was a strange time in the football world. Just an observer looking back, you think, oh, geez, Mick hadn't done a lot wrong. But all of us, now, just on the premiership, I mean, have you ever spoken to Nathan? I mean, obviously you know him pretty well. Have you spoken about him? I mean, it's a CV thing he hasn't got. Now, I don't reckon it detracts from a player. I mean, you're either a good player or not a good player. The fact you get lucky and timing's everything, you get to play in a premiership. Did he ever talk about that as a player, that he missed out by the time you guys had actually held up the cup?
Not really. It all happened pretty quick in 2011 when he took over, or in the end of 2011. Didn't really talk about it too much, but there's no doubt, one of the missing pieces to his great career is obviously not winning a premiership. There's no doubt he really wanted to win a premiership, and you could see it. I think it might have been 2002 when he won the Norm Smith. He took the medal off straight away. So, he's pretty upset about the whole situation. So there's no doubt that he would think about it from time to time. But like you said, it shouldn't take away from his, great career.
Our guest is former Collingwood star Alan Didak for Kia. Kia Sorrento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year. What about the upheaval today, Alan? What do you think? Eddie McGuire's gone, the board's in strife, the coach is gone. This is very un-Collingwood. It's all happened in the last basically 12 months.
Very, very unlike Collingwood. It's been a strange few months at the club, and to see Eddie go the way he did, and now Bucks, and there's obviously a bit of in-house fighting with a board, and Jeff Brown's trying to get a ticket together to take over. So it's very un-Collingwood like. I hope we can, or hope they can resolve it as quick as they can, because now the players don't really deserve this. The club and the players and the fans want stability. So I really hope they can resolve it. It's not great for our club. I think we're the only club at the moment going through all this, and hopefully they can put an end to it soon.
Yeah, true. It's not great, is it? Now, Hall of Fame in 5 years' time is a certainty for the Hall of Fame in 5 years' time. Somewhere down the track in 10, 5, 10, 15 or 20 years, do you think he could be a legend, one of the legends of the competition?
Oh, no doubt. You know, you talk about the 2000, sort of that era, and you throw up the names like Boss, Ablett, you know, Ricciuto and
Hurdy.
And, you know, Hurdy, yeah. And then you throw that name Buckley, and he sits very, very comfortably with all those players. So there's no doubt that he'll be a legend one day of the game.
Yeah. He'd hate the name Dom Sheed, I reckon. It cost him a premiership as a coach. Alan, what are you doing yourself now these days? What are you? I know you were involved with wine there for a while. What are you up to
now? Yeah, I was initially. I was in the wine business for a little bit, then realised how hard it was. Pretty competitive market. So one of my mentors, who was an old sponsor at Collingwood, he's got me into transport. So I've got my own little transport business now. I'm a transport broker, so I'm the middleman in the organisation, and I look after customers who need to transport their product all over Australia. So,
well done too. Yeah, I was in that industry for about 30 years, Alan. It's a great industry. I love it.
Better have a coffee, you two.
Yeah. It's good to see you doing well. I mean, no one's mentioned the Brat Pack. I'm going to mention them because I loved them. I love Swanee and Jono and all those.
Yeah. How many were in there? Was there five or six?
Jeez, they could all play.
There's really only four of us, but there's a few associates that, you know, sort of hang around us a little bit.
Jeez, it was good fun, though. Jeez, you could all play, though. Gee, a wonderful team.
Yeah, no, it was. That's what we were talking about it before. It was, you know, it's hard enough to win one, but I think, you know, we had a team that was, I think it was probably the youngest in AFL history to win a grand final, second youngest.
Second youngest in 97 Adelaide team, that's right,
Yeah. So we had an amazing side. We had a great connection. We had players that were a bit rough around the edges. We had players that were just straighty 180s. We had a really good connection in the club. We all respected each other. We had a bit of fun on and off the field. But one thing we could do is play footy. And just sad that obviously what happened with Nick and Bucks back then probably stopped us from winning another one.
Yep.
But look, I'll take one. I know how hard it is to win them. So I'm happy with one.
Alan, I said it many, many years ago, if you win one, you're a great team. If you win two, you're freaks. And if you win three or more, you're a miracle. Mm. And I mean, great.
So
you know what? Great's good. And I remember after Brisbane won their third, Jason Ekamanis got up on the dais and said, "See, Blighty, we're a miracle." You know, so, but it is too, isn't it? It's just you're a great team to win one, mate. They're so bloody hard to win.
And I actually played in five. So
yeah.
I'm grateful that I won one. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Played five. Well done. Of course you did, Alan, thanks for that. Thanks for giving me an insight into Bucks, and great to speak with you once again.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Alan Didak, terrific little player too.
He's a left wonderful, kick goals. Smart.
Look at his resume. It's pretty good. Over 200 games, Copeland, All-Australian.
Absolutely.
And a beautiful kick for goal, Blighty, which you love. Anyone can kick a goal.
Yeah.
Bit of Dom Sheed in that, but I don't think Bucks would like to hear that name again. All that thanks to Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. Remember that name, Lumo. Back more shortly.